This is also the episode that Glenn suggested like 3 years ago, and we're finally doing it, and we picked a time that Glenn could make, and then he sent me an email this afternoon that said, can't make it.
That's been kind of his MO.
That's Glenn. Glenn is great at suggesting episodes he's not on.
Redefine. I move to Glenning. The associate people. We have redefined Glenning.
Yes. The new Glenning is setting things up and then not showing up for them.
Well, he can't Glenn because he's not on the podcast anymore. So therefore, Glenning means not being on the podcast.
I just want to send this out there to everybody listening to the After Dark and in the chat room who wants to know why Glenn's not on very often. It's not because we don't ask. And it's actually not even because he doesn't RSVP. It's because he doesn't show up. That's why Glenn is not on anymore. He literally must be present to be present on the
He's
podcast.
He's become our mortal enemy. He's become our very antithesis.
In that he is not we.
Exactly.
All right, I've just started recording on QuickTime.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
Okay, so everybody recording. Scott, you're out there?
I am.
With your usual gregariousness.
Nobody even said hello to me when I joined.
Scott, it's so great to have you.
Hello! It's too late now, people. I don't need false enthusiasm.
All right, fine.
We meet again, my old adversary.
For the first time.
And for the last time! Well, probably. Until the next time.
That's some good dialogue there. David, take some notes on that.
I'm taking notes. I think I know who the Fog's next nemesis is.
Oh, dear. For the first time and the last time. Until
Didn't
next
I,
time.
I invented a, I invented a Fog nemesis at
I don't
Singleton.
Even know what
do you
that
remember,
means.
Do you remember the Fog nemesis I invented at Singleton?
No.
His name is the Sommelier. He gets you tipsy.
Oh, yes, yes, the sommelier. He always, what he does is he just
keeps
refilling
your
wine
your glass yeah.
until you're drunk, and then he strikes.
That's pretty good. I thought that was pretty solid. That's how you get to the fog.
The fog appears in our most recent episode.
Monsieur Le Fog, indeed. This pairs well with death.
See? Ah, it writes itself.
Because in the video game episode, Steve Lutz was complaining about the fog, and all of a sudden...
The fog was there.
The fog is always there, Jason.
Yes. Well, I am in the Bay Area. The fog is always here.
Yeah?
I'll go now.
Creeps in on little cat feet. Wait, man, you could write about fog. What can we say? All right. You know, writers or series that you ended up kind of just dropping, and why? Why do you give up? When do you give up? So those are sort of my points.
I gave up so long ago.
Yes.
Oh, you meant about reading things. Okay.
Yes. I gave up on working on the podcast about 140 episodes ago. So. See? Now I just, I give up. Whenever I give I've up. Got no idea, I just do the spoiler horn, and it's like, yeah.
Our April
so,
Fools.
So can we consider the spoiler horn having gone off? And,
no, because we haven't started the episode yet.
Seriously? Come on, let's just start the episode with the let's spoiler horn as a default.
That should just be our new theme song.
This is the spoiler horn?
This is the spoiler horn. It spoils you.
It never ends.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be my new podcast. It's just actually just a foghorn.
But it should just be, you shouldn't record it. And then you could send out an email.
It is.
We did that joke last week.
Foghorn podcast, yes.
But nowhere near the scale he'd make if he had a back end of the box office.
Exactly.
And so, the fact is, no one in America ever cares who wrote the movie.
Yeah, it's not the
no,
writer.
Seriously.
Nobody cares
no,
about the writer.
Right. No, there may be people who get a little culty about screenwriters, but those are people who would get a little culty about almost anything. Your average moviegoer is not going to be, ooh, Melissa Matheson wrote this? Ooh, sign me up. So.
A whole bunch of writers, by the way, just endorse my thing that is nobody cares about the writers. We know nobody cares about us, okay?
Very few writers actually get like points off the gross either.
It's a bunch of writers talking. You think this is not bitter experience?
Yeah, nobody ever offered me points off the gross from a screenplay based on my Macworld.
Or your unpublished novels.
Or my unpublished novel.
Well, when they do Syracuse's 8-part Macworld OS 10 review.
the movie of that.
It'll be like the Harry Potter movies where they have to split it up into 7 parts.
And so,
yes. All right. Well, now that we've depressed ourselves with talk of how artists can be awful and yet create good art, I'm not going to even. This is the part I'm going to take out. I'm not going to even mention that mean email that Stephen Moffat said to Lisa's husband that has meant that Lisa's husband can no longer enjoy anything that Stephen Moffat does. It's very sad.
We can't even watch Doctor Who. No. I'm not allowed to mention any Stephen Moffat related.
Sad. It's sad because he's a really good writer, but I was on that email thread and he was kind of a jerk.
But
it just soured. You know, it's just like I don't want to know. I don't want
to
know.
To this day, great. No, if you like a book, don't meet the author. So how many desert islands are left for us to go out and have to live on before we turn to this series in desperation?
Don't
do it.
Don't.
Infinite.
Yeah, I'm
infinite.
I'm with you, Scott. Don't. Dune. Yeah, go ahead and read Dune if you want to read a classic sci-fi novel, but don't just stop. Yeah.
You know, it offends me that going and looking at the Wikipedia page is Dune Universe and they didn't just go with Duneverse?
as well they should.
All right, it's mentioned later on in the article. Yeah, it's mentioned later on, but come on.
If this series
put that up front.
If Dune had been written in 2000, Dan, it would have been called the Duneverse immediately.
That's true.
Oh, boy.
But they were slow back then in the 60s.
They didn't understand.
They didn't
it was
know.
A different time.
Well, they only the fandom was by actual mail instead of email. Yeah. So,
and it was all mail.
A little time dilation there.
There's a National Lampoon's Dune, D-O-O-N, as well.
Well, that's great. Used to have so watch that.
I still have not read Game of Thrones because I'm waiting for the entire series to be finished. My fear is that if I start it, George R.R. Martin will die.
Yes.
And we will never find out how it ends.
Don't
well,
do
God,
that.
Lisa, don't start then because I've already read them all and I want him to live. So
yeah,
don't
worry,
jinx
Brendan,
it.
Sanderson will start up.
He must live.
No, I won't. That's the thing. I'm doing it for you guys, really.
I send him care packages of fresh vegetables and fruits every week just to keep him healthy.
Have you sent him a Fitbit? Please track your steps. Take 10,000.
I sent him a personal trainer, Lisa.
Oh, my God. Wow.
You're really invested.
I sent him a Vitamix. He's making smoothies.
He's making milkshakes.
Damn it. Going there. This has antioxidants, Robert. Drink the blueberries.
So, David, you were saying you tried these things and then did...
It's not like they wronged me. It's not...
I think I mentioned this on the, I think on the Hugo's podcast, but I read the first Kim Stanley Robinson Red Mars book and never went back.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Didn't do it for me.
I got into the second one and just went, no.
Yeah, I thought that series was okay. Well.
Meh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But again, I didn't feel wronged by him. I just went, I was just going to say, you know, it got to the point.
David, you turned into a dog there briefly.
I told you I was going to be Snoopy.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who knew the kids loved Ricky Ricardo?
Yeah. Ricky Ricardo. Hello, see. I've got a planet to explore.
I don't know.
Oh, Ricky.
What's interesting is they've actually come out with an authorized novelization version of Shada now in his style.
Yeah, by Gareth Roberts, who is a Doctor Who writer.
Yeah. And it's sitting on my Kindle. I haven't read it yet, but I really want to compare and contrast that with Dirk Gently now to go.
The story of a lot of those Doctor Who, almost every episode was novelized. It was just a BBC, you know, a thing. They did it from in the 70s, and kids would grow up on these Doctor Who novelizations. And the Douglas Adams ones were never novelized because he always said he wanted to do them, and he would never do them because that man did not meet a deadline he couldn't blow. And so they just, as he said, he loves the sound of the deadlines rushing past. And so they never were written. And now it sounds like, you know, his estate and the BBC seeing an opportunity since he's a name and Doctor Who is sort of back in popularity. They're, you know, setting down this path. Neil Gaiman has threatened to one day write a novel version of his Doctor Who episodes, too, which might actually be interesting. Although I like Neil Gaiman, I like everything that he's written. So he's not on my list.
Yeah.
Yet.
I've only seen one season of Enterprise, for instance.
Well, that's because that's not.
I didn't even make it through the first.
Well, that's one more than I've seen.
It's been a long time.
Getting from there to here, Scott.
Oh, jeez.
You've got to have faith.
Yeah.
of the heart.
Oh, see, George Michael was on that show? I'm very confused.
They woke him up, and then they went.
Well, they didn't need to leave him hanging out like a yo-yo, so they had to do that. It's against the Prime Directive.
That's right.
This podcast is over.
Well, I knew that Scott would bring us back to Earth with his deep knowledge of books. His deep-seated anger.
Knowledge of Wham.
And his knowledge, yes. Well, that's Scott. He's a Renaissance
man. It's true. Books to Wham.
It's true. Scott, I don't want to know more about Scott. I like to keep Scott a mystery, because if I knew more about Scott, I might not like him as much.
That is sage advice.
Yeah. All right.
Oh my Scott, God, here's the Anthony episode.
Scott, I'm not disappointed in you. I'm just mad at you.
I've come to a realization thinking of the Flophouse. I think Mira Grant is like the castle freak of the Incomparable.
No, because Stuart likes Castle Freak. We do not like
that's true.
Feed.
That's true. But you keep bringing like it up.
Because it's awful.
Yeah.
And Parasite better not be nominated for Hugo.
I know. I'm tempted to read it just because, but I can't. I can't do it. I might look
it
at it.
You in, have to.
Maybe I'll go in a bookstore and I'll look at it and see if she got to be any better a writer. Because that's my theory, is that those first books were like early works of hers and she just put them out there. And I don't know. All right.
I mean, I'm curious to read the books under her real name just to see, you know.
Yeah, she's got a following, obviously, but I think the books under her real name are probably better. She had one of her Hugo nominated stories was okay. No, you know, okay, not great, but yeah. But don't follow her on Twitter, because that'll humanize her.
Oh, God. Sure. No.
You can't do that. Then
we'll no.
Then we'll feel bad. You can't feel bad. You just got to bring the truth, no matter who it hurts.
That's right, true. Scott?
If you like an author, don't follow them on Twitter. This is why I don't follow any.
Yeah, and if you dislike an author, don't mention them when you say they suck on Twitter, because that's also rude. I should say that. Yeah. I should say that. Yeah. I saw somebody do that last week where... what was it? Oh, it was I mentioned something about David Pogue leaving the New York Times, and somebody wrote back and said, "Oh, I don't bother reading at Pogue because he's a terrible writer." I'm like,
"Why would you do that?
Don't mention him. You are saying mean things to his face when you mention him. Just don't
do that.
When I talk about Feed and Mira Grant, I don't at Shannon McGuire. I don't want. Yeah. I just know she's over there and is fine and has lots of nominations." I'm over
here. She wrote a blog post about that very subject.
She did, and I think I retweeted that, actually, because I thought that was great. She's like, you don't need to bring that to me. Just have your own opinions over there. You don't need to. Do you understand when you mention somebody on Twitter, you are putting your words in their face?
Yeah.
People don't understand. They're dumb. Yeah.
People are stupid. People are awful. We come back to this.
That's the worst. We're back to Scott McNulty reading Mein Kampf on the subway.
It wasn't Mein Kampf.
Oh, what was it?
It was a book called Adolf Hitler.
Okay, that's totally different.
And it's long.
It's a little bit.
All right.
800 pages long.
It was John Gill's History of Nazi Germany.
And I didn't even bring up my Nazi. I was going to talk about Albert Speer, who wrote a wonderful book about Inside the Third Reich.
Oh, yeah.
And is an awful, awful man.
Yeah.
Oh, I read that book. My parents had a copy of it.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good book.
It is.
By a terrible person.
It's true.
I think if you were in my parents' case, if you were a baby boomer of a certain generation where you were just learning about World War II in school, there was kind of this, how could they do that? And this was, people were looking for explanations.
And Albert Speer was there to say, here's how.
Yeah, pretty much. I did it like this. Here is my filing system. Here is my publicity campaign. Here is my...
Well, but of course he denied that he was involved with any of it. I was just one of Adolf Hitler's top aides, but I had no idea what was going on.
All right, I'm going to turn off the thing. Goodbye, 5x5. Thank you for being here, and good night.
Goodbye, chatters.
And goodbye, chat room.
I hope you enjoyed our bonus Nazi content.
Yes, extra.
All right, good night.
Good night, everybody. Yeah, this podcast is over.
On that note...
Good night.
Good night.